Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker, welcome back to The Common.
Thanks for having me.
Deb, earlier this year, Steward Healthcare System, a for-profit company, said its financial challenges are jeopardizing its ability to keep running its hospitals in Massachusetts. There are now 8 here in the state. Now, this drew scrutiny from state, local, and federal officials and raised concerns about private equity in healthcare. Early last week, U.S. Senators for Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey, led a hearing that focused on private equity in healthcare, and they dug into Steward Healthcare's financial problems. I want to start there. Tell us about this hearing and what we learned from it.
So Senator Markey chaired the hearing, and there were experts who testified about private ownership of healthcare and their experiences with private ownership of healthcare. Many of them said it reduced the quality of care, it reduced access to care, increased costs. And Markey really, and Warren, they really took aim at Steward Healthcare and what's been going on with Steward and its, you know, claim that it's going to leave Massachusetts. Markey said that the private equity firm that Steward paid back after it sold the real estate of the Massachusetts hospitals that it owned made an $800 million profit. Mm. And he said there needs to be more accountability for operators like Steward. Here's a little bit of what Markey said.
What they did was immoral, and we need to make sure that it becomes illegal. Together, we will guarantee every American a healthcare system, not a wealthcare system.
And Darryl, he and Elizabeth Warren were especially critical of Steward's CEO, Dr. Ralph De La Torre. Now, De La Torre, who really was very influential in this state and was considered a rising star when he took over Steward in 2010, declined the senator's invitation to attend the hearing that was held at the Massachusetts State House. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
The blame for this crisis falls squarely on the private equity firm that bought the hospitals and stripped their assets, and on Steward CEO Ralph De La Torre, who sold the deal both to regulators and to the healthcare community here in Massachusetts.
Both of the senators are saying there at least need to be some guardrails on private equity's involvement in healthcare.
Mm-hmm. And how is this playing out at the state level for us?
Well, there was a state hearing as well, and that was about a week before the federal hearing. And so at the state hearing, that was the legislature's Joint Committee on Healthcare Financing, there was a lot of talk about, you know, why are for-profit companies allowed? Most of Massachusetts is nonprofit. Should it stay that way? And David Seltz, who's executive director of the Massachusetts Health Policy Commission, which reviews many healthcare deals, said that the increase of private equity in Massachusetts healthcare has been dramatic over the past few years. He presented an analysis to state lawmakers that found 63% of purchases and sales in healthcare providers in Massachusetts between 2020 and 2023 involved private equity firms. Mm. And that was up from 25% between 2013 and 2016. So Seltz said to lawmakers, you know, this is here, it's coming, there's a lot of private equity in our healthcare, and state agencies need more authority to oversee these private investments in healthcare, because private equity tends to have short-term plans to own a company quickly, boost profits, and then leave, which he says can harm healthcare.
Some of these unique financial strategies that private equity firms employ to generate profit can be quite destabilizing to the healthcare market.
And so basically he says, give the state more authority. That's really what's required.
How much power does the state have when it comes to oversight of private equity in healthcare?
the state's authority can be a little bit limited. In a hospital situation, the State Health Policy Commission, we just heard from David Seltz, can review what are known as material changes in a healthcare system and issue a report to lawmakers, forward it perhaps to the Attorney General if needed, if it's a nonprofit. The Department of Public Health licenses hospitals, so the Department of Public Health would have an entire licensing procedure that someone would have to go through. But there's a difference between for-profit and not-for-profit, and not-for-profit would have the additional layer of oversight by the Attorney General's Office's Charities Division, which looks at nonprofit transactions. So it's very complex. It's a lot of policy and a lot of regulation. But basically, those are, do you meet these requirements to get a license? In terms of having concerns about a deal or anything like that, there's very limited authority by the state. And in fact, Steward announced that it was selling its physician network to Optum, which is a subsidiary of the parent company of the for-profit United Healthcare. And the Health Policy Commission reviews that deal and issues a report on how it thinks that will affect access and quality of patient care. But that's it. And the state can decide what to do from there. But there aren't many levers there.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of legislation in the works among state lawmakers around this issue?
So state lawmakers are talking about drafting a bill. It looks like that is going to happen. They've given themselves a deadline extension to do that. And that bill, we don't know, obviously, exactly what it will contain. But presumably, it would give the state more power to review deals, to potentially block some healthcare deals. Right now, there's talk that it would require a public database where healthcare ownership would be easily identifiable, because right now it's easy to structure companies in different ways where it's not clear that it's private equity or even a for-profit company. I think there are a lot of things being discussed on the state level to be able to change and give the state more authority.
Understood. Deb, I want to take a break here, but when we get back, I want to talk a little more about Steward and their situation. So we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker. So, Deb, we are talking about Steward Healthcare System and private equity in healthcare. I want to take this time to dig a little bit more into Steward. How did Steward get to the place where it is now, where it's having these financial challenges that's jeopardizing the hospitals that it runs in the state? Do we know more about that?
We know that Steward has said that a big reason behind its financial difficulties is reimbursement rates for publicly insured patients. So most of its hospitals are in vulnerable communities. Many of its patients are insured by Medicaid and Medicare, which pays lower reimbursement rates than commercial insurance. So Steward says it's publicly insured versus privately insured patients is very high. So it has a lower rate of income coming in to take care of those patients, and that's a big problem. Mm. There are some folks who question whether that is really an issue and whether profit has been too much of a motive. Stewart has not released its financial statements to the state as other hospitals do. It's actually fought this in court. It lost and it's currently under appeal. The company lost in it and that's being appealed. So it's hard to know exactly how it got into this. But what we do know is that Stewart started out, by all accounts, and spent a lot of money saving the hospitals, the Caritas Christi Network, and it was backed by private equity, by Cerberus Capital Management. Stewart paid off Cerberus Capital Management after it sold the real estate from its Massachusetts hospitals. It sold the real estate for $1.25 billion to a real estate investment trust known as Medical Properties Trust, and agreed to pay high rent to Medical Properties Trust in exchange for that sale and getting a big chunk of cash. Those high rents just financially strapped the hospitals. And so there are a lot of questions about selling off those assets to Medical Properties Trust. After that real estate deal in 2016, we started to see lawsuits from vendors saying they weren't getting paid by Stewart Hospitals. We started to hear complaints from staff, complaints from patients. We started to see federal lawsuits claiming that there were improper financial disclosures going on at some Stewart hospitals. So I think the real estate deal was a huge problem for Stewart.
Now, you mentioned earlier that they're in the process of a sale right now. Can you talk about the details of that?
So one of the last remaining assets that Stewart has because of the real estate deal is its physician network, which is a huge network of doctors. It said it has reached a deal to sell that network. We don't know the terms of that, but the deal would require it being sold to Optum, which already owns a considerable number of physician practices in Massachusetts. And Optum is a subsidiary of the for-profit company that owns the insurer United Healthcare. There are many officials who've expressed concerns about that potential deal, and they want the state, if the state allows it to go through, to require Stewart to use any money from that deal to help the eight hospitals and not let Stewart walk away with the money from selling its physician network.
Okay. And so that's where we are right now. What are you looking out for in the future?
Well, state officials are in talks with Stewart. You know, it's the governor, it's the Executive Office of Health and Human Services, it's hospital leaders, it's all kinds of healthcare leaders and labor unions. They're trying to come up with a way to figure out what to do with these eight hospitals or how to potentially transfer ownership. A big hang-up is these real estate deals because the landlord says, we own the real estate, can't take the hospitals. So presumably a new owner could be on the hook for these high rents that Stewart had agreed to pay in exchange for a big infusion of cash. And so there are a lot of legal and financial issues here as to what to do with these hospitals. Most people agree that most of them need, are absolutely necessary in the communities where they're located, and they serve a huge population and a big need in Massachusetts. And without them, it would also put a great burden on other hospitals that are already stressed. So I think they're trying to come up with a plan, and we're waiting to hear what that plan is going to be.
Got it. Deb, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and bring us this update on Stewart. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.